Nice thing this year was rained early in May. It slowed down planting a little bit. So this plot was planted May 15. And good weather right after that. So the stands are excellent. We did get out here. We added almost 4.5 to 5 inches of water at a critical time late in June and early in July. So we're pretty pleased with the way things look right now.
Looking across your area, your service area, anything in particular, and you've gotten into some pretty severe drought areas, anything in particular that you've learned about your hybrids this year, any particular characteristics that stood out?
It's going to be a year where our customers are really going to sift and sort hard for products that are durable. And not every corn hybrid, even in my lineup and other companies' lineups, meets that criteria. And Wisconsin farmers have to be a little hardier breed, and they're going to be looking for the more durable products, not the racehorses this year. Whether that's the right or wrong analysis, that's how farmers make decisions. What happened last year, that drives what they're going to do next year, and it will be a year to sift and sort and find those products. And the results of this year are going to last us at least 5 or 10 more years. They're going to remember the tough year of 2012, and it's going to drive some product selections for at least 5 more years. And the plots that we have out are going to reflect that. A lot of plots out there are going to average 100 bushel, some not even that high, and it will select some very durable, long-term products.
When selecting for next year, is it time to look at, you might have to trade off some yield for some of that drought tolerance or heat tolerance or some other aspects?
I'm going to say generally no, and that's not a perfect answer, but most of the really good products that have drought tolerance will run with the big dogs. They may not in a high yielding year out yield them. They may be a couple of bushels behind, and every farmer likes to take the top hybrid. But if you're a statistician, what you know is that there's 4 or 5 hybrids at the top that are all within 6 or 8 or 10 bushels of each other. And statistically, they are identical. But every farmer is going to take the top of the plot. Whereas these durable hybrids might be in the mix, they may not dominate in a high-yielding year. They're going to be right there where they need to be. And then in a tough year, they're going to save your butt.
Obviously, stack traits are becoming more and more of a factor in the selection. Were there any particular stack traits that may have affected yield one way or the other here this year?
It's a year with the heat and the dry weather that, and I think every farmer that's been trying to promote yield on his farm learned this year that we sprayed a lot of bugs this year. Spider mites in beans. It's one of the worst corn rootworm years I can remember in my career. And so the traits were very important this year. And I have to tell you that the high-end traits performed the best. Smart Stacks outshone all the single trait corn rootworm products, no matter what company. And I think we're less than 30 days away from very high awareness of that as farmers go to the field with a combine. And they start seeing down corn where they had rootworm problems, and they start seeing the yield difference on the hybrids that controlled the rootworms and the hybrids that didn't. And again, hot, dry weather created the awareness, and I think it's going to drive our customers towards the higher traits because of that. And we haven't seen that now for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, a couple of years ago, you were questioning, did it justify the expense?
Yes, and clearly this year it will. And I think the bigger question is, as you get into northern Wisconsin, you get less and less insect pressure, of course. So this year, how far north is that line? Most years, I would say the Southern Crop Reporting District is about where the line is. I think this season it's going to move into the central part of the state, and there will be a clear delineation between traded and non-traded hybrids and how they perform.
So Highway 10, Highway 29 south are going to be the dividing line.
Yeah, that'd be a good bet. Maybe not quite that far north, but it's as good a guess as any, Bob.
Who knows? What about supply for next year for seed corn? Some concern on that.
Supply may be the biggest story in our industry, in the farm community at this moment. And Farmers want to know about rootworm. They want to know about other issues, but every farmer asks about supply. And we went to the field with a lot of acres, and the dry weather affected our business as well as our customers. Our seed crop is not what we would like it to be. We are below budget on our seed crop, and what's going to save us is the number of acres we planted. And we've had the conversation with our dealers already. We did a hard analysis here in the month of August, looked at what we've got. We have some winter production commitments to fill in some blanks. And we feel that our seed supply is going to be something around, on the low end, 150% of what we sold last year, and on the high end, 170% of what we sold last year. The question will be is, what do the other guys have, and how much pressure does that put on our supply? Our good customers will be taken care of. The question will be is, the other companies that don't have seed, you know, they become like Chicken Littles. And I think through deer hunting time, Christmas time, I think it'll be kind of a business as usual kind of a fall. But after that, when seed companies have to come clean about how much seed they really have, I think it becomes the Wild West. And I'm not looking forward to that this season.
But when it becomes a reality that they're not going to be able to deliver, that's when they start looking for alternative sources.
Yes, and they'll be frantic. Mm-hmm. And if what I know about the seed industry today is that the seed supply problem is more acute than it was last year. The seed crop is worse than last year, and there is no carryover, where last year there was a big carryover going into the season. And that's where we're going to be short this year. Winter production can produce no more than 10% of the total U.S. seed supply. I don't think that's going to be enough this year.
Mainly a shortage of longer maturity, or any particular maturity that's going to be in short supply?
In the Corn Belt, they're hit hard, and I think the Corn Belt is looking at another 50% seed crop. Northern growers, I think, have done well with seed, especially in the irrigated areas. At Rank Seed, we're hit hardest on the early end. They were trying to pollinate when the weather was still really hot early in July, and it really affected our early corns. Our mid-season and later corns were in much better supply position. It's only the early corns here at Rank Seed, but I think it has more to do with the individual company and where their individual growing locations are than it does with, you can make a broad statement about one maturity or another.
Bottom line is, talk to your dealer now and really seriously consider what you're going to plant next year.
Yes, I would agree with that. But this year, more than last year, there seems to be a little bit of misinformation from some key seed suppliers. Their field people are making statements that I don't think, when it comes time to deliver, they're going to be able to back up.
Let's flip gears to the other side of the plot here, soybeans. Overall, beans coming through this okay this year?
Beans look better, but we're starting to, the experts are starting to warn not only farmers, but the same thing applies to the seed growers, that maybe the beans aren't quite as good as they look. It's still a good bean crop. Mm-hmm. It may not be a record bean crop. It may not be our best bean crop ever, but it is a sound, solid, decent, if not pretty good bean crop. And we feel that we're above budget on our bean crop, and I don't think there'll be a seed supply issue there, at least from Rank Seed. I know some of the tougher producing areas, Central Illinois, those guys are not doing well with their bean crop. They're already looking for beans, but I think the northern guys are going to do well enough.
Here again, any particular traits that stood out or took a harder hit through the summer?
The big production issue with soybeans this year has been spider mites.
Yeah.
There's no spider mite trait to date. I don't think there's even a spider mite trait in the pipeline. And so the guys that were scouting and spraying and aggressively treating are going to do well. The guys that maybe overlooked the problem, I think, are going to get hit hard on seed yield or soybean seed yield, especially with a dry year and then letting the spider mites loose in there. I think it's going to really hurt.
And there's really nothing you can do. I mean, this is just a cyclical thing. If the weather's right, they're going to come out.
Spider mites love hot, dry weather. Yeah. And it was the perfect storm for him this year.
I was thinking of this last year in this field day. It was cold and wet as all get out.
That's right. That's right, it was. And didn't even think about spraying a spider mite last year.
And the alfalfa. I mean, now obviously the alfalfa took a heck of a hit through the middle of the summer here. Will the plants be all right? And more importantly, will the seed be okay?
Seed is not grown locally. Almost all the alfalfa seed, it comes from Western geography. It's irrigated Western geography. And it's a wonderful plant for Wisconsin. Went dormant. It's pretty hard to kill alfalfa, even no matter how hard you dry it out. It goes dormant. It sat dormant. We got some water on it. Locally, it's growing pretty good. It really depends what the rainfall pattern was in your area. But pretty impressed with how alfalfa came through this. Maybe not so impressed. If it goes dormant, you don't get any alfalfa, obviously. But the plant did survive. They're doing well.